Praise God. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Thank you, band. Always do an excellent, excellent job. We praise God for them. Amen. There was an elderly lady, well known for her faith and her boldness about talking about Jesus. So she would stand in the front of her house on the porch, and she would shout, "Praise the Lord!" Oh, I love this lady. I wish we had more ladies down the street shouting, "Praise the Lord!"
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord! Down West Barnes Lane, we'll have Glenda shouting, "Praise the Lord!" And next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry when she started shouting, and he said, "There ain't no Lord." And so sadly, hard times set in on this poor old lady, and she prayed to God for some assistance. She said, "God," you know, she shouted on the porch, she said, "Praise the Lord." She said, "Praise the Lord. I need food, oh God, I need food. Please, Lord, send me some food." And she went to bed. The next morning, she got up, she opened the door, and she saw a large bag of shopping of groceries. And she was so glad. She shouted again, "Praise the Lord!" And the neighbor jumped out of the bush and said, "Aha! I got you. There was no Lord. I bought those groceries for you, and I left it. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down for joy with her hands clapping. She said, "Praise the Lord, he not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." It's good to have some fun. I like that story. It's pretty good. Hallelujah. Well, my title for this morning's message is, "It's Time to Launch Out." It's time to launch out. And the text comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Verses 1 to 6. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. So, one day Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. The people crowded around him and listened to the word of God. Jesus saw two boats at the edge of the water. They had been left there by the fishermen who were now washing their nets. He got into the boat that belonged to Simon. Jesus asked him to go out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down in the boat and taught the people. When he finished speaking, he turned to Simon and Jesus said, "Go out into deep water. Let down the nets so you can catch some fish." Simon answered in verse 5, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Underline that. "Because you say so," or at your word, "I will." When they had done so, they caught a large number of fish. There were so many that their nets began to break. What an awesome story. What an awesome thing that happened here when Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee. It was a regular day for Jesus. And wherever Jesus went, we know people gathered. Jesus was a gatherer of people. And the multitudes were there. And they were pressing on him. There were so many. Because they all wanted to hear him. And Jesus, he decides to get into a boat, and he chooses Simon Peter's boat to make it easier for him to address the crowd from the boat. And if you think of it, you know, is it what, sound-wise? You would know that if you step into the water and the people on the shore, and when you speak, the wind as well that carries your voice. And so it made sense for Jesus to step into that boat and speak to the people. But he chooses, there were two boats, he chooses one. And this is what I like to put across to you. When God's time comes, he knows how to choose you from among the crowd. This was Simon's time. Simon Peter's time to experience something from Jesus. And he didn't choose the other person's boat, the sons of Zebedee. He didn't choose their boat. He chose Simon Peter's boat. It was Simon Peter's time to experience the power of Jesus. Today, it could be your turn to experience the power of Jesus. Today, it could be your turn to experience the power of Jesus. All I ask you is that you position yourself for a miracle. Position yourselves for a miracle. See, sometimes in our lives, we need the supernatural to invade the natural so that our understanding of the supernatural power of miracles opens up. We've got to have the supernatural invade the natural. So we are open to the supernatural power of Jesus operating in our lives. It's like what I did earlier on. We need to have a supernatural encounter with Jesus in order for the natural state to be transformed. Many times we depend so much on the familiar, on the natural. We use our knowledge, we use our expertise. And what happens is we block the miracle. Because a miracle comes through faith. And when we use all these other things in our minds, our knowledge, our expertise, familiarity can block the miracle. Looking at our physical state can block the miracle because we take our focus off the supernatural and we look at the natural. In verse 4, Jesus stopped teaching and he addresses Simon Peter and he tells him this. It's one command. He says, go out into the deep water and let down the nets so you can catch some fish. Some translations say, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. And let down your nets for a catch. Now these fishermen were not expecting to go fishing because they'd already done it all night. They were tired. They were cleaning their nets. They were professional guys. They knew all about fishing. They knew how to catch fish. They knew where the fish would be, in what area of the waters the fish would be. What was the best time to catch the fish? Why? Because they were professional fishermen. And they had been toiling all night, and yet they caught nothing. Imagine God's timing, isn't it? Sometimes we toil and toil and toil, and we catch nothing. Hold on to that thought. They must have been extremely tired. And such a request would have seemed absolutely crazy. When Jesus said, launch into the deep and throw down your nets. How about putting ourselves in Simon's shoes for a little while? Not Parsons, Peter's. For a moment, feel what he was feeling. And what was he thinking? What thoughts could have gone through his mind? Put yourself there. Picture yourself. You come, you're tired, you've done everything. You know, you've toiled all night. You've caught nothing. You know, here is Jesus. He's just taught the people. You're cleaning your net. And then Jesus finishes teaching the people. He turns to you and he gives you a command. And he tells you to go back into the deep and throw your nets. Picture that. What would our response be? How do we deal with that? My second point is this. Always expect a miracle when Jesus is in the midst. Always expect a miracle when Jesus is in the midst. Always expect to be challenged to go further when Jesus is in our world. Always expect to be challenged to go further when Jesus is in our world. Always know that with Jesus, anything can happen and anything is possible. Peter didn't realize it at the time. When Jesus told him, launch out into the deep, he didn't realize how powerful those words were. And sometimes in our lives, we may have been toiling and toiling and toiling and toiling. And yet God speaks one word. And there's a choice. Peter could have, you know, just dismissed what Jesus said. He could have. He said, no, he could have said, no way, Jesus. You've already done that. But he was willing to obey the voice of Jesus. See, verse 18 of the same chapter. We see the power of the Lord. This was the context of this account here is that Jesus is in a house, he's teaching. And it says there that the power of the Lord was there to heal. That's what it says in your Bible, doesn't it? Verse 18, 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, there were the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And into that gathering, men brought a paralyzed man. Some men brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. And they lowered him from the roof right before Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He healed the man. And already did he heal the man, he said, your sins are forgiven. There's a lot of controversy about that. Their faith was rewarded because they came with an expectation. See, the power of the Lord was there to heal. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not recognize the power to heal. They didn't recognize who was talking to them. To them, Jesus was just another leader or a figurehead or, you know, just another teacher. They couldn't recognize and know the power that was there to heal because of the presence of Jesus. Always expect a miracle when Jesus is in the house. When you expect it, God will do it. It's like you expect somebody to visit you. You expect your neighbors. You expect your relatives. You expect someone to come. If you don't expect anything, nothing will happen. There has to be an element of expectation when we come into the house of God. Because we come together not to just have a nice time, we do that, but it's more than that. Can you see it? There's an expectation that when we come to the house of God, that God will do a miracle in my life. That God can heal me, that God can set me free, that my depression will be gone, that my condition that I'm suffering from will be gone. There's an expectation that comes by believing and trusting in Jesus. The Pharisees couldn't see that. Let's not be Pharisees. Let's not be religious, so religious that we fail to see the awesome power and presence of Jesus. Because sometimes we can get lost in our religiosity, if there's a word like that. We can get lost in it. We can get lost in our traditions. By not simply believing, Jesus, I'm here today with your people and I expect a miracle. God, I want my healing. God, I want to be set free. I want my circumstances to change. You know, sometimes we got to get aggressive about our circumstances. We kind of get a bit too placid in the way we are. And we can see that in society. In Christianity, there is that kind of, you know, that placidity. You know, a situation where there's nothing aggressive about it anymore. People are beginning to, they're starting to just accept everything that people, that society is throwing at them. There is that complacency. And it happens many times among the Christians. They don't want to stand up and say, no, that is not right. I don't believe in that. And somehow the enemy has tricked us to a complacent society in the churches that we are unable and unwilling to stand up and say, I know Jesus. I know the truth. And if you know the truth, it'll set you free. Always expect a miracle when Jesus is in the house. When we gather together in the name of Jesus, there is power. There is power to heal, restore, to deliver, to set us free. We are to gather with an expectation that Jesus is here. Our gathering is neither for a show, it's not for entertainment. But as the word says, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Correct? There am I in the midst when two or three gather together in my name. The risen Christ is here to perform a miracle for you. When we come on a Sunday, when we come on a Wednesday, when we come on a Thursday, it's like this Thursday, we are meeting again this Thursday for a time of prayer. When we come on Thursday, when we come on Friday, when you come on a Friday, come with an expectation that God's going to do something, because the atmosphere you're coming into is charged by the Holy Spirit. Because we bring the presence of God into this place. And when we offer our sacrifice of praise, God says he dwells in the midst of the praises of his people. If we believe that, then we should accept it, and we should believe that the praises of God, God's people, will bring in the presence of God, that presence of God is able to change, transform, and do whatever he wants to do with our lives. If not, our Christianity and our coming together is in vain. Can you see that? When we come together, let's come with an expectation. Whatever meeting that may be doesn't really matter, because the Holy Spirit, he is present. And that's why we see in a corporate setting, people get set free. Something happens. Somebody gives you a word. Somebody lays hands on you. And all you need is one point of contact, one somebody to agree with you, and you get delivered from whatever that's holding you back. People say, I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need that. I don't need that. I can do it at home. I have television. I have God channel. I have Revelation TV. Thank God. Bless God for these channels that are there. But there is a deeper connection. There's a deeper anointing. There's a coming together of God's people, a gathering together of God's people that causes an exponential growth of power and unity and oneness, that God begins to stir people up. God begins to create things. God begins to cause things to change in people's lives. And you and I, when we come together, we are there as God's servants, as God's people, as God's ministers, be able to minister to one another. Be able to serve one another. Be there as a blessing for somebody else. I always say you come to church not to just enjoy yourself only. It's there for you to serve somebody else. It's to bless somebody else. Because somebody else can be depending on your being there for that person's blessing. Be expectant when you come. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says this: as we praise God, saying, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. The Lord who dwells among praises comes down. Hallelujah. The Lord who dwells among praises comes down. God himself inhabits our praise. He inhabits our world as we exalt him. Praise is powerful. It defeats the lies of the enemy. It shuts him up. That's why I like praise. The enemy tries to hold our lives in sort of a trap. And you know how to unlock yourself from that? Praise. If you feel trapped this morning, if you feel that you're suppressed, you're oppressed, the only way, the one way that you can get out of that situation is to start praising God for who he is. I like that story of that old lady. She shouts, praise the Lord. You know, when you shout praise the Lord, something gets released in the spirit realm. And you get blessed. Always expect the supernatural to open up when we come together with the saints and worship our God. Always expect the supernatural to open up when we come together. Third one is this: go for a deeper, not shallower. Go for deeper, not shallower. Jesus told Simon to launch into the deep. You know, there's something about the deep, isn't there? There's something about the deep. You can catch bigger fish in the deep. There are bigger storms in the deep. The waves are bigger and more powerful in the deep. There are greater challenges in the deep. You can't catch anything in the shallow. You might try to catch this, we call them guppies, you know, this small little things swimming around. In the shallow end of the sea, you just catch these sprats that we use for sprats. These tiny things, you won't catch much on the shoreline. And sometimes in our own lives, we got to get out of our comfort. We got to get out of our situation that we are in order to progress in God and in the things of the kingdom of God. We want to progress. We have that in us. We say, God, I want to move forward in you. God, I want to see your kingdom come, your will be done, and then we stand still. And we don't do anything about it. But God expects us to move into the deeper end. Because in the shallow end, there's nothing that he can do. But in the deeper end, when everything is ramped up, the storm is greater, the challenge is bigger, God begins to change your character. He begins to mold you into something that he wants you to be. So long as you stay on the shore, you'll always remain on the shore. You'll never get into the deeper things of God so long as you remain on the shore. The only way you get into the deeper things of God is when you plunge yourself into the deep. You can only know how to swim if you jump into the deep. If you always stay in the waters that's just a few feet deep, you won't get to swim much. But if you throw yourself into the deep end, you will learn to swim very quickly because your survival instincts will kick in and you will start kicking the water. But that won't happen when the water is knee deep. Can you see that? In God, in the spiritual realm, in our spiritual walk with Jesus, until we get out of the shore of our shallowness and into the deep stuff of God, where the storms are raging, where the battle is raging, where the challenges are there. How many know that you and I, we need to be challenged? If we are not challenged in life, we just sit back and do nothing. How many of us get out of bed because there are challenges? How many of us go to work because we are challenged by society, we are challenged by our bills, we are challenged by what we have to pay for? We got to get out of bed, we got to do some work, we got to earn some money. If there was a situation where none of that existed, you and I will just lie back and get fat probably, but lie back and do nothing. So challenges that God brings in our lives are good. We need to embrace the challenge. Why? We might complain in the challenges, but the challenges cause us to go deeper into the things of the Spirit and causes our hearts to strengthen, to be strengthened, and our lives, our character to be shaped. There's a saying that goes like this: your character won't keep you. Have I got that right? Your gift won't keep you until your character is able to sustain you. It's something like that. You might have the most amazing gift, but if your character is not strengthened, it's not matched up, it's not butched up to match that gifting, you'll soon give way. And so we got to get ourselves into the deeper things of God. Now, that's not going to come by just, you know, taking a relaxed attitude. How many know you'll never get far if you just took a relaxed attitude? Do that in work. Do that, I don't know, wherever you are. Just take a very relaxed attitude. You won't get far. It's those who have a little bit of a push, a little bit of a go in them. You know, they want to achieve something. They're willing to sacrifice something. They're willing to take that step by faith. You know, they're willing to risk. Take a bit of a risk. They get somewhere. Am I right? They get what they seek out to achieve. You've got to trust Jesus in order to experience the deeper things he has for us. The fourth point is this: recognize the authority of Jesus and his word. Simon, like many of us, started with all the excuses. If you read the scripture there, I'll tell you, Jesus, we have toiled all night. He explained to Jesus the sequence of events. But then suddenly, he makes a bold statement. He makes a bold statement. Praise God. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will. And today, church, we may have been giving excuses and giving the Lord a sequence of events. God, I can't come to church because I have this and this. I can't come to a Wednesday because I have this and this and this. I can't come on this day because I have all these things. And I understand all of that. Imagine if Peter gave all his excuses and didn't make that one bold statement. Nevertheless, in spite of all of that, God, in spite of my tiredness, nevertheless, at your word, I will. And I pray in this morning that as God's people in this house, that we will have a resolve in us to say, because of who you are, Jesus, I will. Because of who you are, Jesus, I will. Nevertheless, at your word, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Praise God. Simon had a nevertheless moment. He had a because you say so moment in his life that changed his whole belief system. And that whole belief system changed his whole world. Look at the next few scriptures, you'll see that. His whole world was transformed by that one bold statement. I wonder how many of us need to make that one bold statement in spite of, irrespective of, because of what Jesus has said. Nevertheless, God, at your word. One word from Jesus. In your time of desperation is what you need. And when you, despite all hindrances and barriers and tiredness and excuses, seek to embrace that word and do something about what God has said, God can bring a miracle into your life and change your world. When you're willing, and when you allow the natural to dictate your lives, you know what happens? It shuts out the supernatural to invade our lives. When we allow the natural to dictate our lives, it shuts out the supernatural to invade our lives. All we need is a spoken word, and we call that a rhema word, a quickened word, a word in season to birth our miracle and change our situation. Simon said, because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. God's just reminding me of when I came here to this church. I didn't know anything about pastoring. I've seen other pastors. I've never kind of done it before. But I just said, Lord, because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. Now, I didn't know how it's all going to turn around, how it's going to all going to pan out. I didn't know 7 years ago. But all I said was, God, because you said it, I will do it. And I think sometimes in our lives, when we look at our situation, and we see the situation, if you try to fathom it with our own minds and reason things out, what comes across is something that's too big for us. If I sat down and rationalized, oh my word, be the pastor of a church? I've seen my dad do it. I've seen my brother do it. I've seen other pastors do it. They get bombarded from every side. You can do, when they do something right or wrong, you still get hammered and bombed from each side. I said, no. Who would want that? But when God gives a word, you don't look at the situation or the circumstances, because God is beyond it. God is above your situation. God is above your circumstance. Today our family is blessed because I said, Lord, because you say so, I will. Today, there might be someone here that all you have to say is, because God, you say so, I will. Whatever that is that God's called you to do. Especially if it's something that you're evading, you're running away from. You can be sure that God is doing something in you. Because the moment it hits you, you want to step out, you know, sidestep. When it's something to do with the house of God, you want to sidestep. But God might be saying, look, I can change your world, but you got to trust me. You got to be able to launch into the deep at my word and see what I can do. Peter did it, and he found that their nets were breaking because their catch was so big. What God can do is significantly more than we could ever ask or think of. That's what God can do. What God has done in our lives, I would never have guessed. Where we are now, even if I paid me loads of money, I don't think I would have even scripted it. Say, God, all we did was say yes to God. And all God wants from us is, Lord, I will. I will. Don't look at the how. That's up to God to do the how. All God wants is to say, I will. I will. Let's not make our problem bigger than the Word of God. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on who God is, because He is able. Allow the light of God's Word to permeate your world. Allow this Bible, this Word of God. Allow this Word to permeate your world. Let it be part of your world. Get it into you. Eat from this Word, the Word of God. Apply it to your daily lives. Even in the most difficult situation, when you apply the Word of God, say, God, I believe your Word is true. And my situation is this, and I'm reading this from your Word. And I'm going to believe that it'll come to pass because you've said it. At your Word, Lord, I will do it. Allow God's Word to enable you to change your thinking from that of a carnal or a natural mind to that of a Spirit-filled mind where the supernatural can operate. Look at Romans chapter 8 very quickly. It talks about the carnal mind, the mind that is not focused on God. That's the carnal mind. It's focused on other stuff, everything that's happening out there. But God takes 10%. The rest takes 90%. That's a carnal mind. Does that make sense? You can know you have a carnal mind if God's kingdom only takes this much and everything else takes that much. Because the priority is not right. So, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says this, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is enmity or hostility. That's what it means. Against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And then verse 13 says this. But if you live according to the flesh, what's the flesh? The carnal side. You will die. But if you live, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For many as are led, verse 14, by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Can you see that? The carnal mind has no part to play in us. Jesus, he's a true light, which gives light to every man. I spoke about that last week. And if you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, you will see how Jesus came into this world. John the Baptist, talking about Jesus. He said he came to his own and his own did not receive him. It's that sad. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. We're coming towards Christmas very soon. We're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. He came. But the very people who came to did not recognize and realize who Jesus was. There are people today, thousands, who don't recognize and realize the awesome love and power of Jesus. And we have a duty and a responsibility to show them who Jesus really is. Jesus loves you and he desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to give you a life full of joy, full of purpose. How many want a life full of joy and a life with purpose, full of purpose? Jesus can do that. Jesus can change your past. You cannot change your past, but Jesus can. He can go into your past and he can change it and transform it and do a miracle in your life and wipe that slate clean. The guilt of sin, God can remove. It's guilt that eats into a lot of people today. It's the shamefulness of the sin that has been committed that the enemy brings it over and over again. That's what the scripture says, renew your mind in Romans chapter 12. You know, renewing of the mind, a daily renewing of the mind is so important. We've got to fill our minds with the Word of God, with the things of the Spirit of God. Jesus, his love for you never gives up. His love for you never runs out, never runs dry. His love for you is the same as it was yesterday, is for you today and in the days to come. His love will never change. Isn't that amazing? That we have a God who loves us so much. Jesus, he knows the worst about you, yet he believes the best. Why? Because while we were yet in sin, Christ died for you and for me. Because he believed the best in humanity. We might look around and say, man, humanity is... You can't believe what human beings are doing in society today. It's just so ugly and so wild and so ruthless. And you wonder, how can human beings treat other human beings in such atrocious ways? How can they do it? Because of the God of this world, the devil has blinded them. They're gone away from the love of God. The love of Jesus draws people. But the enemy has blinded people. And we see society today, a broken society. And you and I, that God has positioned here, we have a responsibility to take this good news of the gospel of Jesus to a broken society, to a broken humanity, and show them that in Jesus they can be restored, they can be healed, they can be forgiven. You can trust Him. You can trust, as we heard earlier, Fenella was saying, you can trust Jesus. You may not be able to trust somebody else, but you can trust Jesus because He never fails you. His plans are good. They're a good plan. It's an awesome plan. A plan that's not for evil. A plan that contains God's promises for you. There's a hope, there's a future in the plan of God. The question is, are we willing to do what Jesus says? Are we willing to be obedient to the word of God, to the voice of God, and say, yes, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to hear you. I'm willing to listen. Not just to listen, but to take some action. Because we can be hearers and hearers, but faith comes faith without works is dead. And we can have a lot of faith, but if we don't operate, exercise that faith, it goes nowhere. It doesn't do anything. God has given us faith. He's given you a measure of faith. He has. You don't have to be super spiritual to know that you have faith. Every believer has faith. Tell your neighbor, you have faith. With a bit of, come on, with a oomph. You have faith. You can move some mountains. You can change some situations. Tell them that as well. You can pray for the sick, and they will be healed. Hallelujah. You can speak into a situation and change it and turn it around. Why? Because you have faith in you. God's put faith in us. Let's be a people of faith. Doesn't matter how much. You don't have to have that much this way. It doesn't matter. It is faith. God will use a mustard seed to bring about kingdom things. And He'll do that through us. You blessed this morning. Are you encouraged this morning? Praise the name of Jesus. Let's launch into the deep. Let's go a bit deeper in the things of God. And we'll experience more of God's blessing. As your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Bible tells us, believe in your heart. And you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The Bible tells us that we are saved. So we can pray this prayer this morning and say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I have done. Those things that have been done wrong in my life. God, I'm sorry. God, I ask you to forgive me. And thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for setting me free. Come into my life, Jesus. Be the Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me, Lord, with the Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, be with me always. And when we pray that prayer, God, forgive me. God, invade my life. Fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. God will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you got something in your spirit today? It's going to take you deeper into the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This coming week. Let's launch into the deep. You ready to launch into the deep? Let's launch into the deep. Amen.
You more than enough for me, Jesus. You more than enough for me.